I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. John and Ken on Demand is the podcast, and you could listen to the parts you missed. One thing you should listen to, start at the 2 o'clock hour, we talked with the father of Wesley Welling, Craig Welling. Wesley was the 15-year-old boy who was run over by that lunatic at Westlake High School. The guy who stabbed somebody at a Walmart, then went to his family's home and harassed them. Finally showed up driving crazily and ran over four teenagers at Westlake, and Wesley got killed. There's a GoFundMe page, GoFundMe.com, and in the search box, put in memory of Wesley Welling, or just put Wesley Welling, and you could come to the page and donate to their fund.
All right, in about 15 minutes, another keyword will be revealed here on the John and Ken Show on KFI, your chance at $1,000, the Inflation Compensation Contest. We begin this hour, we're going to talk to John Kupal from the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. We talked about this story last week, but John can fill in a lot of details. It all started with a budget trailer bill in Sacramento, and that sounds eye-rolling and eye-glazing. But anyway, it's resulted in this proposal that your electricity bill, your utility bill, would not only be based on your consumption, but also a portion of it would be based on your income. And let's see how that came about. John, welcome back to the show.
Always a pleasure, guys. How you doing?
Boy, this is classic Soviet socialism.
It really is.
But people with money are being forced to pay other people's electric bills.
That is true. And the other thing that's really critical about this is it's just another example of how they try to hide tax increases. They try to hide the tax increase embedded within your utility bill because, you know, when people pay their electric bill, they think it's based on how much electricity they use, which is correct. This is what California voters have supported in many instances in the past, what we call cost of service principles. And that is you use a service and you pay for the service. You use more of the service, you pay more, you use less. This is an example to actually redistribute wealth from higher income people to subsidize lower income people. And if you want to do that, use the government's general fund, either the general fund of a city or the state. But they don't want to do that because it looks dangerously like a tax increase, because it is a tax increase.
Doesn't a tax increase have to go through the legislature? Is this legal?
It did go to the legislature. AB 205, and
but it's disguised.
Right. Well, first of all, it blew by everybody. Keep in mind that AB 205, as of June 26th, had no language in it. 4 days later, it is a massive energy-related bill that had three major components, of which this was just one. It was a huge bill. Never had a any hearing at all, no meaningful hearing. It's one of these trailer bills that they just jam through at the last moment. And what people didn't realize is that this opened up the door to income-based utility rates, which on its face doesn't make any sense. No other state does this. No other state takes into account your income as a basis for your electrical rate. And not only is it a step towards socialism, but it's going to be very difficult to implement. Are you supposed to file another tax return? How are you going to prove what your taxes are? Again, this idea is not ready for prime time.
Let me ask you this too, John. Bills like telephone, maybe electric, don't they already have something in there, you know, for the poor people that can't afford to pay? There's some little fee or something like that that's already incorporated?
Yes, and those are like lifeline rates. You know, there are these more or less miscellaneous charges, which we've never litigated, but technically speaking, your utility rates should be based on the cost of service. No one has ever litigated a lifeline rate because it's always been such a modest amount, and people kind of throw up their hands and say, okay, we understand that embedded within our electrical rate or our phone bill is something to help people less fortunate, but it's always been modest. Never have our bills been based on the income that other people make. So, again, it's a real problem.
Plus it's the California Public Utilities Commission is going to be determining what charges are imposed and on whom. Now, that seems like the legislature should be spelling that out, and that should be part of the vote. First of all, this should be a standalone bill, so the public should be very aware that the following groups of earners are going to be taxed at an increased rate, and here's what the money is going for, you know, to pay poor people's electricity. There's none of that here. Instead, they're giving it off to an agency.
They are giving it to the PUC, and the PUC has the authorization, has the jurisdiction to set fees, but not so much to impose taxes. Now, here is where it gets interesting, because as you guys know, we've qualified for the ballot for 2024, the Taxpayer Protection and Government Accountability Act. It's already qualified for the ballot. One of the things it does is it reinforces existing law that clearly distinguishes between what a tax is and a legitimate fee. And if the TPA, the Taxpayer Protection Act, passes in November of 24, then this particular scheme will likely be illegal, because you cannot call this rate structure a true fee.
What is a fee?
What is a fee? Like getting into a park?
That's a perfect example. You go into a state park, you pay a fee, you get the benefit of getting entrance into the fee. There are other kinds of, like, a trash pickup fee. And under Prop 218, another one of our initiatives, the trash pickup fee is supposed to be more or less related to the cost of the service. If you have a dumpster, it's going to be more expensive than if you have a small container. So there are requirements. There are what we call these cost of service requirements for true fees. There are other fees to pay for regulatory programs. For example, you're never going to hear farmers complain about the pesticide fees that they pay, because it's a segregated account and they want all farmers to play by the same rules. So if they have to pay a small pesticide fee to regulate that industry, they're not going to bitch about it. But when the fees become excessive, and when the fees are so draconian that they're actually based to fulfill some societal good instead of some specific benefit or some regulatory program, then that's when it becomes.
This is not a fee, because I'm not getting anything out of this charge. This is simply money taken from me and given to somebody else. All right, yeah. I'm not getting entrance to the park.
You're subsidizing,
here.
Right?
Somebody else is getting in the park, not me.
So there's an old poem, I don't think I will ever see a tax as ugly as a fee. So, that's exactly what these are. And they've been playing these games forever. They embed local governments and state governments continue to try to embed taxes into a fee structure, number one, so they get more revenue. But number two, it's hidden. It's hidden. People pay these things. When people will pay their utility bill, if this thing goes forward and is implemented, people will pay the utility bill and they'll say, geez, these rates are high. Well, it's not the rate that's high. It's the fact that you're paying a substantial tax on top of the fee.
All right, John, thank you so much for coming on once again. Of course, we'll be talking a lot into next year about the Taxpayer Protection and Government Accountability Act. Got to get that passed on next year's ballot. Thanks for talking to us.
You bet, guys. Take care.
John Kapal, president of the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association, as we're not giving up this story, even though it wouldn't take effect until 2025. But the idea that your electricity bill wouldn't be based solely on your usage, there'd be a fixed fee component based on your income.
The more money you make, the more you have to pay for electricity that you don't use. Somebody else is using.
Right. It would have nothing to do with your usage.
The hell?
All right. More coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere. Oh, and the word is coming up next, the keyword for your chance at money. See, John, we give money here at KFI. We don't take money from the listeners, right? John and Ken Show, we're live on the iHeartRadio app.
They take money.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Coming up after 3:30, we'll welcome back John Hatami to the John and Ken Show. He's an L.A. County Deputy District Attorney, lead prosecutor in the case against this mother and her live-in boyfriend who killed the mother's son, Anthony Avalos. Big story out of Lancaster a few years back. He died in 2018. Finally came around to trial. They were found guilty by a jury. Today, they were sentenced by a judge to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Pfft. See how long that lasts. But anyways, they undermine the criminal justice system in the state. That's something they have their eyes on, making sure even murderers are released within some period of time. Is it 10 years, 15 years? Something like that. But anyway, we'll talk to John Hatami, of course, is also running for L.A. County D.A. in next year's election to unseat the abominable George Gascon from office. So we'll get you more details on that story. This always fascinates me when I hear a story like this. Not to be confused with Dr. Kevorkian. John remembers who that is, right? Mm-hmm. Dr. Kevorkian?
He used to have that little suicide van he'd drive around in.
Yes, he did. He was a strong believer in your right to take your own life.
He would invite you into the suicide van, and he would inject you, and you would die.
Yes. And then he would drive off. There was some speculation that he had an odd fascination with watching people die.
He used to take photographs when he was in a hospital trying
to capture people's last breath.
Yeah, he would take rapid-fire photos, and he would try to get the exact second of death.
Oh. Well, I mean, some people thought he did good. And you're a big believer in the exit bag. So
he was an early, innovator.
He was an early innovator. Right? Yes. Well, we're not going to talk about Dr. Kevorkian. We're going to talk about, well, not doctor, but Mr. Kevorkian. Yes, Gevorkian. Stephen Kevorkian, 44 years old. He comes from Studio City. He's being charged with illegally providing medical care to thousands of patients at a medical facility he ran in Toluca Lake. Oh, John, that's right down the street there, Toluca Lake. Did you ever go in there for
practically within sight? Oh, I eat there all the time.
You do? You still go to Bob's Big Boy?
Occasionally, yeah.
Okay. Or you used to sit at the counter and tell me about the people around you.
Oh, that's where I met the guy without a nose.
Oh.
Old guy sat next to me. At the counter, I looked to my left.
I only had a nose.
He had no nose. And I didn't go there for a year after that.
God.
Completely freaked me out.
But, I mean, you have a nose. You just don't have the beak there, right? The nostrils.
Well, he had two little holes.
He couldn't smell anything?
There was no nose structure. It was all gone.
Oh, you didn't have a conversation?
He just had air holes. No. I had to leave.
I had to leave?
It freaked me out. It's like a horror
movie burger.
I don't know what happened. I had to go. I couldn't.
He ran something called Pathways Medical. And of course, it's described as an alternative medicine provider focused on intravenous vitamin therapy. But he did not have a medical license to do this. He supposedly was claiming to be a licensed doctor and practicing medicine on thousands of people for several years. Sometimes the treatments included medical conditions such as cancer and viral infections. This all came about because somebody went undercover I guess they got a tip. So an undercover investigator went there for a medical consultation, and they conduct a blood test before they offer patients treatments. And during the undercover operation, investigators with the California Department of Consumer Affairs said Gevorkian failed to accurately address abnormal levels of a hormone that could indicate a serious medical condition. So they're not only looking that he was practicing without a license, but looking to see if he did something, you know, or if his methods are off and could be dangerous to people. So they've arrested him. And I like this, though. His attorney, Justin Sterling, and they always say this, and it's the one word they always use. Looking forward to our day in court to vigorously defend him. Vigorously. He said, it's important to acknowledge that what is thought to be known or understood early on is not always the case in the end. John's three-day rule, right, John? The three-day rule?
The three-day rule. That's right. Don't trust early headlines, early accounts.
They could be wrong.
There's a lot of wrong information, a lot of missing information, a lot of context.
Well, here, any suggestion that Mr. Gevorkian, he referred to him as Mr., was impersonating a doctor in an effort to treat unsuspecting patients is demonstrably, another good word, demonstrably false.
Demonstrably.
And I think what he's possibly hinting at there as the defense is that he never presented himself as a doctor. So I don't know what the licensing requirements are to give somebody vitamin therapy. I mean, your parents went for B12 shots. What did they...
Yeah, well, I walk by because being in Brentwood, there's all kinds of hocus pocus.
Oh, there! I have them too in centers. My neighborhood. Yes,
you know you can get an IV drip.
Yes,
of vitamins and all kinds of weird substances that are supposed to give you energy or reverse the aging process. Just endless nonsense shots.
Oh, I got one near me. That's the frozen one, right? They can freeze part of you.
Cryogenics.
Yeah.
There's these tanning booths, tanning salons.
A tanning salon, that's just to look golden tan.
But there are other things, though,
thinking people are going to get a lot healthier.
They're all lined up on the same block.
Oh.
It's like one after the other. And this is for wealthy women with nothing to do. Aging wealthy women, right?
Who worry so much about every little possibility.
Sure. You go here to get weird skin injections or like minor plastic surgery procedures. You go here to get the vitamin IV infusion therapy. So it's like going to a GNC store and you have 10,000 bottles of vitamins and herbal remedies, right? And it's unregulated by the FDA, and it's this gray area where there's all sorts of hocus pocus claims, and nobody knows if it works or not. And some people just take dozens of these pills every day. So I'm guessing he falls in that category.
And well, then if all of those places you described aren't raided and arrested, then maybe that's the defense here, that I wasn't really running a traditional doctor's office. I was just, giving people vitamins.
Well, he would have to use the word.
But it says some people were treated for cancer. Yeah.
And unless he has... Like some kind of vitamin.
And by
therapy.
The way, George Gascon is the one that went after him here. Like, that DA's right on top of this.
Yeah. All right.
Getting the vitamin guy in the valley.
Right. Exactly. The vitamin guy, he's on top of.
He's on top of. I don't see anything in the story that anybody died from this. Or it says here, the website says that it's a combination of intravenous vitamin therapy, oral supplements. Yeah, it's just pills. And a diet change based on your individual blood work. Oh, so he's one of these people that he takes your blood, and you ever read those books where they think they can analyze your blood to figure out what you're susceptible to and what foods you should eat and should not eat? Did you ever hear about that?
Yeah.
That they think there's a way to take your blood.
All the stuff you said, I see at these various centers all the time.
Yeah.
And there's like a dozen of them in that genre.
So maybe we're making the case that he's not guilty.
It depends if they have evidence where he actually passed himself off as a doctor or he had something in writing where a reasonable person would be convinced that he's a doctor.
Because if you literally have cancer, I don't think you go to a vitamin guy.
Some people do, though.
Oh, a lot of people go to Mexico for these off-the-board
Remember years ago there was Laetril in Mexico?
Yes.
And it was supposed to treat cancer?
Is that the one made out of the peach pits?
Yes. Yes.
Something that came out of peach pits.
Something derived from peach pits, and celebrities would go there. Kind of last ditch Or sometimes it was their first choice.
Right. Yeah, I heard it was a lot of people that were out of options and were looking for a miracle.
I remember. That's why Steve Jobs died so quickly from his pancreatic cancer.
Yeah.
He was trying to treat it with hocus-pocus remedies.
Oh.
And the doctors were telling him, no, you know, it's chemotherapy and it's, you know, radiation. It's all the traditional means, right?
Yeah.
He didn't want to do it. And so he was trying his own new age pancreatic cancer treatment. And then at the end of it, he realized, man, I really screwed up here. Because, you know, you can get a couple of years with regular treatment.
When we return, our guest will be L.A. County Deputy D.A. John Hatami, also candidate for that D.A. job in next year's election. He's going to talk to us about the case that he was a big part of prosecuting. And that's the mother and her live-in boyfriend who killed 10-year-old Anthony Avalos, who died in 2018. They got their sentence today. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeart Radio app.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're
a
figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
Podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
You can hear us on the radio till 4 o'clock and then from 1 to 4 every day after 4 o'clock on the podcast, the iHeart app, John and Ken on Demand, and listen to the parts you missed.
Yeah, and use that app to connect to the Moist Line, which is coming back in just a few days. You can use the microphone icon at the iHeart Radio app to leave a message for the Moist Line or call the toll-free number, which is 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. Well, today was Judgment Day. They got life in prison without the possibility of parole. We're talking about Heather Barron and her live-in boyfriend, Karim Leyva. They were found guilty of first-degree murder in March. It was a non-jury trial in front of a judge. The victim was 10-year-old Anthony Avalos. He died in 2018 after quite a period of horrible torture and abuse at the hands of the mother and the boyfriend. And whenever we talk about this story, we cannot forget the involvement of child services, which once again failed to protect a young boy. We're going to bring on Jonathan Hatami, L.A. County Deputy District Attorney, prosecuted the case, and of course, a candidate to replace George Gascon in the next year's election as L.A. County D.A., so he can talk more about the case. He held a press conference after the sentencing. John, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, John and Ken, for having me.
How do you feel now that the sentence has finally been laid out? Because I imagine this case had a major effect on your life and has gone on, you know, for years from beginning to end.
So the family, you know, has had this case for 5 years. I've had this case for 5 years. It's been a long time. I think the family is finally happy that Both Leyva and Barron will spend the rest of their lives in prison. They'll die in prison. They feel that there is some sense of justice as a result of the fact that those two will never get out of prison for the rest of their lives. And so I am happy for the family that they're finally able to try to put this behind them, that the siblings, Anthony's brothers and sisters, are finally able to put this behind them. And they do feel that there is a sense of justice. And, you know, those two horrible monsters who tortured and murdered Anthony will now have to think every day about what they did and spend the rest of their life in prison.
There was apparently 2 hours of impact statements.
Yeah, it was about 20 impact statements total. We even had some first responders make some statements. Anthony's father, Anthony's grandmother, Anthony's sister, Anthony's aunt, uncle, cousins. Anthony had so many family members, and, you know, they were all really affected by this case. The entire family was torn apart as a result of this case. And even the first responders who see thousands of cases were really, really affected by this case. And all of them were able to talk to the judge. And I think what's important, John and Ken, is, you know, the judge gave the opportunity for the family and the community to talk to him, to say how this case meant to them, to say what Anthony meant to them. That's something that George Gascon refused to do. He wouldn't talk to the family. He wouldn't talk to the prosecutors. He didn't even care about the facts or evidence in this case. At least the judge, you know, had the decency to listen to the evidence in this case and to listen to the family members, something George Gascon refused to do.
You've seen.
Yeah, he took the death sentence off the table to begin with, and that's why we ended up with life in prison without parole. But you're saying he wouldn't even talk to the family about their loss.
No, you know, so when George implemented those policies, he ordered the prosecutors, which would be me, to remove the special circumstance. That was before that we filed that lawsuit. I immediately said, you know, you need to talk to the family. He refused to do that. I said that you need to meet with the prosecutors. He refused to do that. I said, you need to meet with the detectives. He refused to do that. I said, well, let me give you the evidence so you can look at that before you tell us or order us to remove the special circumstance. He also refused to do that. And so when the case was in front of Judge Kennedy, this was in 2021, early 2021, before our lawsuit, I refused to remove the special circumstance. George also removed capital punishment without even looking at the case, without even looking at the evidence in the case, without even talking to the family members. The family members reached out to him. He refused to talk to them. And so, you know, this is
why is it he refuses to even talk just to explain his point of view?
Because he's a narcissist and because he believes he knows better than everybody else. And so if anybody disagrees with him, he feels like, you know, that's an affront to him. And so instead of actually being an elected district attorney who wants to listen to, you know, the community and to listen to his constituents, he basically has said that I know more than you. I know more than the community. I'm going to make these decisions and I'm not going to listen to anybody. And so anybody who disagrees with this guy, anybody who's smarter than this guy, anybody who has different, diverse opinions, he doesn't want to hear it. He doesn't want you to talk about it. He's not going to collaborate with anybody who disagrees with him. And like, you know, he's surrounded himself with a whole group of people that know nothing about being a prosecutor and also agree with him.
But
most of them even have less experience than he does.
He gets angry. It's like it's a personal attack if somebody has a different interpretation of a case.
I mean, you're right. So if somebody says, you know, here's the law, and George says, well, you know, I'm a politician, I don't agree with that law, he gets mad if you start talking to him about it. If somebody says, hey, you know, the facts in this case are real egregious, you know, this person is dangerous, George Gascon doesn't want to hear it. He only wants to talk about the criminal, the wrongdoer, you know, what trauma they went through, the fact that they need to evolve, the fact that we need to do all this stuff to help them. He doesn't really want to talk about public safety. He doesn't want to talk about, you know, prosecuting murderers. or child molesters or rapists. He doesn't want to talk to the family members. He doesn't believe in incarcerating murderers and rapists. Him and a large group of people believe that we need to get rid of all the prisons and all the jails, and we shouldn't incarcerate anybody.
Do you worry that this couple might get released not too many years down the road with the way this movement is continuing to close down prisons?
And that's a great question. I brought that up in the press conference. Here's the thing, and I hope the legislators in Sacramento are listening to me and to all the people, because life without the possibility of parole means life without the possibility of parole. And so these individuals on the Public Safety Committee, and you know who they are, you know, Skinner and Weiner and Jones Sawyer, this large group of it's a small group of individuals who think that they know what most of the people in California want. They're clearly wrong, because most of the people in California believe if you torture and murder a child, you should at least spend the rest of your life in prison. If you rape and murder a child, you should at least spend the rest of your life in prison. And they're up there now in Sacramento trying to get rid of life without the possibility of parole.
Against children.
They don't care. They don't care about you or me. They don't care about kids.
I marvel at how extreme they are. You could kill a child. You could torture a child viciously and kill them, and they still don't think that requires a long prison sentence. That's stunning.
Yeah, and here's the thing. They don't represent all of us. They're a small, little radical group, and it's sad because I'm a Democrat, but I'm a Kennedy Democrat. And so I have a small group in my party who are very, very radical, who don't represent all of us, who don't believe that you need to fight for children, who don't believe that you need to protect the community. I believe the majority of Democrats, the majority of Republicans, the majority of people in California believe if you murder and torture a child, you should go to prison for the rest of your life. If you rape and torture a child, you should go to prison for the rest of your life. There is no parent here in Los Angeles who I believes what George Gascon believes. There's a small group of radical people. You know that group. They think stealing, you know,
They're in charge of these public safety committees. Yeah.
They're in charge of everything right now.
Right. And so we need to fight back. And so this is why, you know, I've been fighting this guy for 2.5 years. And so we all need to get together, Republicans and Democrats, put aside any of our little differences and start fighting for each other. Unite instead of divide. Kick George Gascon out of office. You know, kick all these radicals that have taken over city council and think theft is okay. You know, theft isn't okay. Kick them out of office. Get together as a group and say, hey, we want to elect normal, reasonable people who actually want to protect our community and protect children and families.
All right. What's the website again, John, for your campaign for DA?
It is jonathanhatami.com, JonathanHatan, Hatami, HATAMI.com. And, you know, John and Ken, I would love for the support of you and for the community. I'd love for your vote. I'd love for you to try to support my campaign and for the people in this community to support my campaign. Because at the end of the day, I believe everybody in Los Angeles wants public safety. They're tired of politics as usual. And they do want to fight for children and families. And what's going on right now is absolutely ridiculous. Theft is wrong. Crime is wrong. Murdering and torturing children are wrong. And I don't care what any of these radicals say. I will stand up to them and fight them, because this isn't a political issue. It's a human rights issue. And we all live here. And I'm going to fight for you and for your children and for my children.
All right. Thank you very much for talking to us once again. Appreciate all your hard work.
No, thank you, John and Ken, for having me.
All right, that's Jonathan Hatami, tireless prosecutor. I think the first guest we had on from inside the DA's office to go after his boss, George Gascon.
Mm-hmm.
Showed a lot of bravery in that, too, and he's incredible in the courtroom in these child abuse cases. More coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Yeah, and the one thing we didn't have enough time to talk to John Hatami, though, about child services. I mean, and their failure in the death of Anthony Avalos. And this idea that Heather Barron, the mother, and by the way, she and her live-in boyfriend just got life in prison without parole. She got sent to parenting classes. When you're torturing and physically abusing horribly a little boy, you don't get parenting classes. You get the boy immediately moved from the home and you go to prison for life. It's that simple. This upside-down world. Well, we have to understand. We have to keep the family together.
No.
I'm sure she just needs a little bit of training and understanding.
It's not that hard. Don't drop your kids on their head. Do you need a class for that? Don't burn them with cigarettes.
We got important news, John. There's talk about AM radio being removed from new cars and trucks. You heard about this?
Well, some stations probably should be.
You want to name them? If we're in a natural disaster, a text alert on your phone is not going to be a substitute for what broadcast radio can provide you in times of need. A one-line text alert cannot take the place of the voice on the radio talking to you 24-7, and John promises he'll be here 24-7 covering the disaster, because that's what he likes, the end of the world. Of course, the cell networks may not even be up and running. So when emergencies occur, your local broadcast radio station is there providing wall-to-wall coverage, life-saving information, and a live connection to the crisis. Radio stays in the aftermath, so you need to make your voice heard on this issue. You text the letters AM. AM for was amplitude modulation?
Yes.
To 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in all cars and trucks. Standard message and data rates may apply. There you go.
Conway
safe
is here.
AM radio.
Hey, now, here. And look at this guy over here.
Yeah, listen, don't forget me.
Mark Thompson.
All right.
Here's Mark.
You're
Thompson
Ding and Dong,
too.
Right? Ding and Dong?
We are Ding
John
and Dong.
Is so focused that he looks over and he sees me and he doesn't see Mark.
Yeah, he is. He's
that's,
in the,
that's
he's,
focused.
He's like a batter in the batter's box.
That's right.
Yeah.
Your president, my president, Joe Biden's running again.
Oh, yeah?
Not my president.
What? Yeah. Come on, no. Ken. Jump on board, bub. Nah. 10 burglars smashed a van into Sherman Oaks marijuana dispensary.
Yeah, it's a wild idea.
Well, look, that's where they have pot and money, you know, drugs and money.
Sure.
It's a twofer. And then Sepulveda Boulevard closed due to West L.A. due to a high underground oil leak. Well, you know,
an oil
you know,
leak. Like, isn't that
wow, it affects West L.A.
Is that over where you live?
The Beverly Hillbillies. Come on.
Yeah, well, they've got gold.
No, get away from there.
There's oil. Like, I know there's oil under and natural gas under Beverly Hills High School and all along Wilshire Boulevard there.
That's
because
that's
why they never build a subway. Going, they were supposed to build it in the 1980s.
Oh, wow.
And they stopped the construction. The congressman, Henry Waxman, got a bill passed in Congress. No drilling, subway construction underground going down Wilshire Boulevard because of the oil and gas.
Right. And then they said, well, what should we put on top of the oil and gas field?
High school. Yeah, that's right.
We need that oil and gas. Why don't we just extract it for our cars?
There
and there was a cancer cluster at Beverly Hills High, and I remember Aaron Brockovich got involved.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
They were trying to connect it. So.
You know, it's still in, if you go to Century City, I think it's still there. There's an oil rig and an oil well right next to the football field at Beverly Hills High.
Yes.
They finally took it down.
That's right.
Oh, they did take it down?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so all the oil's gone.
I should have Eric on the whole night. Like, hey, did you see that plane was late? Goes, oh, no, it's been on time.
Eric knows stuff.
Please don't argue with the host.
Yeah, Harry Belafonte died. Oh, no, he's fine. He's at home.
Oh, gee. When you drive on La Cienega, though, you can still see those rigs, right? Those big oil.
Oh, yeah.
No, they're gone. They're gone. No.
Eric, please.
Did you just imitate Eric, too?
He's doing an Eric.
Yeah, he does a very good Mark. Tuning in for the Eric.
Do your Mark impression.
Oh, Joker Sports.
Pretend to hit on some girl. Go ahead.
You know, Eric, I don't know if you got a younger sister.
That's his thing with me.
He doesn't like that.
I just say my wife, she designs clothing for young, beautiful ladies.
Right. I don't even know what he said, but it's funny.
He's dangerous at 3:58. He always is.
It's the most dangerous part of
the
whole day.
And then it's downhill for 3 hours.
Yeah, all right. You got support.
But what a ride.
Right, Big Dog.
Conway Thompson, Crozier with the news, live from the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.